the puck. Here's Kopitar with an opportunity, and he scores! The Kings captain, Anze Kopitar, the overtime hero for LA, and the Kings steal game two, 5-4 final score.
I think you're going to want to hear this.
Hit the music!
Too late to do a post-game show. So welcome to the Soups on Hockey Oilers pre-game show. Soups Oilers Ultimate pre-game show. It still works. It still works. Oh, before I get going, okay, I am pretty sure I'm going to try to do a podcast on this weekend. It's just not the one that I need to get out right now. It kind of is, but it isn't. But yesterday sucked for all hockey fans in Canada. Bob Cole never got his due while he was... I didn't ever feel like he did anyway. I don't know. Maybe it's because he hardly did any media. But, I mean, that's... You know, when I was a kid, I had two guys I always wanted to be. It was Rod Phillips and it was Bob Cole. And I don't know which the order was. I just knew I wanted to be one of those two guys. Rod Phillips, for those who don't know, play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers from their infancy until 2010? Was it? Yeah, 2010 season. He did a handful of games in the 10-11 season, but his last full season was 09-10, which was a terrible season for him to go out, but if he would have waited, he would have been waiting for way too long of a time to get a good season to go out on, a good note to go out on. But yeah, Bob Cole was the best. He was just the best. And man, like, so he starts, I think he started in the late 60s. He really starts, like, Hockey Night in Canada and doing higher profile games, mid to late 70s, his first truly iconic call was the Soviets, the Red Army game in 76 in Philadelphia.
They're going home. They're going home. Yeah, they're going home. Can you imagine? Denny, it's been a short afternoon.
Oh, it's terrible. They're acting like a very frustrated hockey club. And I think they're displaying poor sportsmanship.
Can you believe it, Dennis?
I certainly can't believe it. I thought they'd have a little more pride in to play the game.
In 72, in Moscow, we stayed, and we took it all. And in 74, and now, the Philadelphia Flyers room around a little bit, and they're going home.
And, I mean, that's the first one for me, and... The second one for me, personally, and don't get me wrong, a lot of this is the game, but my God, the way he could elevate, had that sense to elevate as the game elevated, that was maybe his most brilliant just ability. Just to, when the game got intense, like, he just rose with the game. I don't know how, I'm doing a shitty job of explaining it, but game five, and remember, because I didn't when I was a kid, I didn't know this, but 84, the first round, it's a best of five. So this is do or die. This is not Islanders are up 3-1 in the series looking to close it out. No, this is Islanders Rangers at the peak of their rivalry. That son of a bitch, it's been 30 years, and the last one was terrible, and the one before that was terrible. So, this is 40 years ago? This is the last truly great Islanders-Rangers series we got? this is the last truly great Islanders-Rangers game in the playoffs we got, with all due respect to Game 3 in 1990 that went to double overtime. Brent Sutter! I think it was Jeff Finley with the shot. They score! Brent Sutter! And, of course, it's Jibs McDonald who's on the call on that one that I'm trying to impersonate. Probably sounds terrible. But I think it was Jibs McDonald doing that. Anyway, Bob Cole, 85, or Bob Cole, 84, game five. It's just a work of art.
Can you believe this action in overtime in a fifth game? Pelone in front. Billy Smith. Rob Brook. Robbed him. I tell you, robbed him. Bossy played it in. That's Tonelli going after it. Into the corner, Patey. Rosden. Sutter! Picked out by Glenn Hanlon. Shot, score! The Islanders have done it! The Islanders, goal! They have won it in overtime. 3-2. It's over!
Look, how good is that, man? And yes, that's one of the greatest overtimes that the league's ever seen. But it is just so incredible how he captures that moment. Just amazing. And that, I feel like, is the first truly great. Because, you know, the Soviet game, the Red Army game, it's not really so much him calling the action. It's an awesome call because he's in such shock. But that Islanders-Rangers game is truly one of the greats. And then as I'm going through his history, which I did a bit when he retired, but now it kind of hits you harder when someone passes away. Man, like, his greatest moments, like, so many of it, for as many Leaf games as he called on a Saturday night and Leafs playoff games, I don't know if there's another team that he did more of in big moments than the Edmonton Oilers. And, of course, May 19th, 1984? When was the first cup? I should know this off the top of my head, and now I can't think of it. We're coming up on the 40-year anniversary of the first cup. Scary shit. But, yeah, I had this one a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was just a week ago. That was, and I made the joke on there that the clips that I was playing to start that show was basically turning into a Bob Cole montage. Kind of tough to avoid that when the man was that legendary. And, of course, as the Oilers' run went on, has to be, there's three, I'm thinking, there's three phenomenal Oilers calls, and I've got all three of them for you. Well, four, but one's from, or two are from the same game. But this one, when I was a kid, I don't remember the 87 final. I don't remember the 88 final. I don't remember watching any hockey until my first game was 89. I vaguely remember a little bit from the 89 season, but 90 was truly the first season that I remember sitting down and watching games. Yet, this goal, the Glenn Anderson goal from the 87 final, late in game seven, oh, man.
2:35 left in the third. One goal. All that separates these two. Anderson and Messier again. Anderson scores!
And I mean this, that was as much about the call as it was about the goal. The goal's amazing, but, the, like, again, elevates to the moment. It is intense. It is a one-goal game in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. A dynasty. Think about this. A dynasty is on the line. Because if the Oilers lose that game, they've now lost in back-to-back seasons. They've only won two cups. They're not the Islanders. They're not the Habs. Like, this is peak. It doesn't get much better than that as far as an intense game. And he just, again, elevates to it. And then the excitement. I don't know if I ever heard him more excited for just a goal than when Mario did his, or got his amazing goal against the North Star. Still the second best goal of Mario's career. Remember, the first is in game four against the Bruins the next season in the Wales Conference Final. Remember that for those who doubt that, for fuck's sakes. But the stage wasn't bigger than it was game two of the 91 final, with the Penguins trailing the North Stars 1-0. And let's not forget this too. The Minnesota North Stars in 1991, nobody could beat them at home. So the Penguins have already lost home ice advantage. This is as must win gets. And I believe it was a 1-1 game in the second period when Mario did this and Bob Cole captured it.
Here's Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
Like, it's perfection. It's absolute perfection. And the 80s, he was good. I don't know if it's television. I don't know if it's, like, I don't know what exactly it is, because I don't feel like Bob Cole's calls changed much from the 80s to the 90s, into the 90s. But it just seems like he went from being the hottest pitching prospect in baseball in the 80s to, in the 90s, he was throwing 100 and winning Cy Youngs. And, like, the trio that he had, and I know a lot of you don't like the Leafs. I know, but the two calls he has for the Leafs in 93 in the playoffs in back-to-back games, and then the call on the Desjardins, like, just, like, I don't need to set it up for you. Let's just enjoy it.
Back to center. Rouse hammers one back in for Toronto. Clark shoving it to the corner. Out front again, Rouse! Scores! Scores! The Leafs win it! The Leafs defeat the Detroit Red Wings in overtime. 2 minutes, 35 seconds in. This has been an unbelievable turn of events. The Leafs march on, and the Red Wings have been eliminated.
High riser on the glass, stopped on the other side by Gil. Gilmore back in the net. Andrzejczyk in front with Borshevsky. It is Gilmore waiting, waiting around the net, waiting.
Iconic, just like absolutely, like, just throwing 100, painting the corners, like, he just was amazing. Yzerman in 96.
Another shot, score! Yzerman scores! Detroit wins the game! Detroit wins the series! And they go on! This is over!
And then you get to 97. And, of course, as an Oilers fan, you know what I'm going to talk about. The series against Dallas is a all-time iconic upset. And I have laid this out before. Laid this out several different podcasts. You have to, if you're not from that era, if you were born and really you don't really know that much, you know, like, maybe you were born in 1990 and beyond. Maybe 93 and beyond. You do not understand why, what made that such an iconic upset. We are coming off, at that point in time, 1995, no Canadian team makes it, even wins a game in the second round. Vancouver made it, but got swept. 1996, no Canadian team makes it past the first round. So you're saying, well, what's the big deal, Supes? Well, when you couple that with Gary Bettman, now the commissioner of the league, hell-bent on taking everything down south, the Nordiques moved, the Jets moved, the Oilers were every year from about 93 on, seems like they were threatened to move. They were going to move to Minnesota, and then they were going to move, you know, eventually SOS came the next season that they were going to move to Houston. But there was always that threat from 93 on that the Oilers were going to move. And every Canadian team was losing money. So in 97, I'll never forget, it was like a big deal that three Canadian teams made the playoffs, let alone making it to the second round. And 97 or the 96 offseason was when the Stars really started to become one of the big spenders in the league. So the Stars had this massive payroll. The Oilers, who hadn't been in the playoffs for five seasons, were back, but holy hell, they had no chance against Dallas. And let's be honest, one player won the series for the Edmonton Oilers. And holy shit, did Bob Cole encapsulate it with this call coming up, and then encapsulated the size of the upset in the call after it.
Babson in there first, bumped the hole, but he got the puck, and he was turned around. Here's Tudor racing in. He's around the net, trying to come out, slam it in. Loose puck. Oh my goodness! Curtis Joseph has made the play of the series. You cannot believe that save by Curtis Joseph, and we're still in overtime. Shots on the line. He's in that zone again by the looks of it. Ledger from center. Flipped it in from O'Donnell. Who's going to be Joseph? Or who will get one for Edmonton? They're going to try here. Rushing to center and down the wing. It is Marchand! Scores! Marchand scores! And the Edmonton Oilers are going to move on. The Dallas Stars have been eliminated.
He's throwing 100. He's throwing 106, and he's painting the corners. He's got the best curveball and the best slitty in the league. He's fucking unreal. He is fucking unreal. Now, there's only two more calls that I got. And there, so, as you can tell, I'm doing these in chronological order. This one's going out of chronological order just because it's the fourth in, you know, the for the Oilers fans. I know Leafs fans... Game 5, Ottawa-Toronto, 2000 playoffs. I understand that one would be right up there. Maybe Matt Sundin's goal against Toronto. I'm not going to spend all day editing and doing all this stuff. You know, I got my week done early so I could record this podcast. It's not even supposed to be on Bob Cole, but I just can't help it, man. I'm such a fanboy for him. Anyway, this one's out of chronological order. Having that feel for everything, knowing what's at stake. Like, I'm showing you the whole sequence, or I'm playing the whole sequence here, because it's game five and the Oilers are down in the series 3-1, and it's a power play for Carolina. And it's not just a power play for Carolina. Carolina's power play is lethal. Like, this is it. And you can tell as he says this, he is, I don't know if he's just hoping that the series keeps going or if he's truly hoping for the Oilers. You would assume that he's got a very big soft spot for the Oilers with how many big Oilers games he did, especially early in his career. Man alive, like you can just, I never thought of Cole as a homer for the Oilers, but mind you, maybe that was my Oilers fandom. But man, you listen to this back and you get that sense. And I won't lie, it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. This is just one of the greatest goals, maybe the greatest goal in Oilers history post-dynasty. And nobody better to capture it and encapsulate it than Bob.
Carolina is 3-for-6 on the power play in the game. Remember, that's their three goals. Pekka stealing the puck, killing some time. They have time to kill now, folks. Time to kill now. Overtime, power play, Carolina. Moving out. Rindamore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. And as Pisani scores, a shorthanded goal for Pisani. And the Edmonton Oilers come out of the box, are out on the ice, and they are celebrating a huge win here tonight in Raleigh, North Carolina. Can you believe it?
And in fairness, at that point, Bob Cole isn't who he was. You got to be honest. If you're going to be like, it's not, I'm not trying to insult him in any way, but he wasn't who he was by that point. He was starting to get names wrong, see numbers wrong. He was 90. So, and that was, why am I blanking on how long ago it was? 18 years ago. 18 years ago. So he's 72 as he's doing it. Like, you're not the same at 72. Like, it just happens. It's just life. But he still, while he maybe messes up some names and he can't keep up with the play at the elite level that he once did, he's still capturing these moments. Like, it's just an uncanny ability to rise with the importance of the game. It's unbelievable. You have to know hockey well to have that feel. I don't think you're just born with it. I think you have to know the game really well. You have to know the game extremely well. You have to have a passion for the game, and you have to have a passion for broadcasting too. If you have a passion for the, I have a passion for the game. I was terrible doing color because I didn't like it. I love hockey. I did not like doing color commentary. Not for a broadcast where I had no ability to see replays and ability to break down things and like just trip me up. I didn't like it. I was always uncomfortable doing color commentary. So you have to have all those ingredients. And Ron McLean talked about this the other night too. The Bob Cole loved theater. Like, he loved Broadway. And that obviously had a big influence on how he was able to encapsulate all these moments as well. And the moment he encapsulated the most was 2002. February, I want to say 21st, 2002. A Sunday afternoon in the newest NHL city, Salt Lake City, Utah. The gold medal game. And I think if you're a Canadian, this should be your favorite moment. And now, again, like the Marchand goal, I feel like you need some context here if you didn't live it. Canada hasn't won gold in 50 years. I forgot to mention this on the Marchand goal. Canada lost the world's game three of the World Cup in 1996. They lost the World Cup final, I guess is the way I should put it, in 1996 to the Americans. And then they lost the, now, after that, they lost the gold, well, man, I'm screwing a lot up here now. After 96, it was, well, we'll get them back in Nagano. First Olympics to have NHL players, we'll get them back in Nagano. And Canada loses, not even in the gold medal game, in the semifinals to the Czechs, and they end up finishing fourth. Starting in 98, Canada goes on a gold medal drought at the World Juniors. they don't win the world championships between 97 and 2003. Like, Canada's women's program lost the initial, and 98 was also the first year they had women's hockey at the Olympics. Canada was expected to win gold, and they didn't. So, going into Salt Lake City, Canada is on a major drought internationally. Major drought. Because you're probably sitting there, if you didn't live it, you're probably sitting there saying, what makes that Sakic goal so special? It makes it 5-2. There's only a minute 20 left in the game. That's what makes it special. Is it was 50 years to the day that Canada last won Olympic gold, and Canada couldn't win shit on the international stage leading up to that moment. And yes, it's 4-2 and it looks like they're going to win, but the Sakic goal sealed it. And it's just, if you're a Canadian hockey fan, I understand we all got our teams. This should be your favorite Bob Cole call of all time.
Through center, Iginla missed a clearing chance. Housley dropped it back. Canada trying to hang on and get a break. It's going to be a break. It is Joe Sakic scores. Gio Sakic scores. And that makes it 5-2 Canada. Surely that's got to be it.
Amazing. Just amazing. We lost an icon yesterday. We lost an absolute icon. And I don't know what else to say other than that. All right. Not easy to move on from that. I needed to take a moment. If you must know. Not shed any tears, or fight off some tears. I should have done a full show dedicated to Bob, but anyway, we're going to miss that, man. But as I said off the top, this is supposed to be Soup's Oilers Ultimate pregame show. Now, I didn't do a postgame the other night. Too late of games. And tonight, same thing. Too late of games. Probably do a post game Saturday morning. But it's game 3. I guess a little recap of game 2. I guess a little recap of the series to this point. Here's how I feel. Game 1, I was texting some friends and I said, this is very early on in the game, and I said, oh, the Oilers looked too loose. Structurally, they looked way too loose. Then they went up 2-0. They ended the period up 2-0. They never stopped playing loose. They were still loose, too loose. When Arvidsson got his breakaway, Skinner made the save. That was rare for this series. And then they come back down and score and make it 3-0. And then they made it 4-0. And then it was 4-2. And it should have been 4-3 because they were playing way too loose. But they got lucky that puck didn't hit Trevor Lewis's knob of his stick. Instead, it hit his hand. And then they get the goal on the power play to make it 5-2 at the start of the third. And it essentially caps the game. End of the game, even though they're two bad breaks, I admit that, too loose. Game ends up being close because they play too loose. What happens, and I said this after game one. After game one, the Oilers, I can't remember if I said this on the podcast or not, but the Oilers did not play well. And the Kings played worse. That's what, for me, was the shocking thing of game one, is how bad the Kings played. As a Kings detractor, I'll tell you this, they're better than that. So what happens? Game two, the Kings play the way they can. And guess what the Oilers didn't do? Adjust. Recognize that, hey, guys, we didn't play well game one. So they played super loose again. And this time, Stuart Skinner laid a fucking egg. That Fiala goal? I'm not meaning to pile on here, but I heard him say after the game, yeah, I couldn't see it. What? If you couldn't see that, like from, they show that puck or they show that goal from that camera behind the net, it's essentially from Skinner's angle. The traffic had been cleared. He should have seen the fucking puck. Like, he just flat out missed it. And I feel like this is kind of Stuart Skinner's thing, is I don't know if he wears down and gets tired or if he just gets too loose himself, but he stops tracking pucks at times. It's almost like he just gets late. He's kind of like Bouchard, where he just has these mental lapses at times. And I truly wonder if this isn't a trickle-down effect from the entire organization, where there's no urgency to win. They're not, as a lot of people like to say on Twitter, this organization is not serious about winning. They're not in any way. It feels like a... And so guys let their guard down all the time, including Stuart Skinner, who after that goal, you could see body language of the team. They had no faith he was going to stop another puck. Like, I know the Doughty goal was a clusterfuck. You need to stop that. He literally didn't shoot the puck. Literally did not shoot the puck. Oh, he was in all alone. Yes, there were breakdowns. It was awful. I get it. They shouldn't ever fucking allow that. But he didn't shoot the puck and it still went in the net. Give them a fucking stop. Get your fucking... Like, I love Stuart Skinner. You do not have the ability to bounce back and make 10 Bell saves. You aren't that goaltender. So you need to not lose them the game. He lost them the game. Now, I am not I'm not trying to pile on him and say, wow, he should take more ownership or anything like that. You got to keep it positive. I get that. And I'm pulling for Stuart Skinner here. This fucking organization, man. Like, how do you feel? Stuart Skinner lays an egg. Second game of the playoffs. And who's your alternative? Calvin Pickard. AHL Cal. Like, great guy. I'm pulling for him too. I have no confidence in this goaltending whatsoever. And I'm guessing a lot of guys in that room don't have a lot of confidence in it right now either. They gave the Kings life when they had a chance to choke them out. Like, just from stupid, stupid mistakes from everyone because they're too loose. They are not fucking serious about winning. So tonight, this is going to be interesting because the Kings want to win the series. As much as I think they're a disgrace the way they play in so many ways, whether it's the diving, whether it's the not having any muscle, whether it's the team that employs Pierre-Luc Dubois, like, there are so many embarrassments with this Kings team and organization. Like, I can't imagine what it's like to pull for that kind of team. Yet, in fairness, you got to look at the Oilers and say, well, that would be embarrassing to pull for a team that's had McDavid and Dreisaitl for a decade and haven't won shit. Very fair. Very fair. Oh, it's a love-hate. It really is, at least for this guy. This team should be one or two cups in by now. People do not understand how much Holland has screwed this up. And Shirelli before him, but oh my God, the Bob Nicholson era. It's not the Bob Nicholson era. It's the Bob Nicholson error. And it has just destroyed this franchise. Even if you re-sign McDavid and Dreisaitl, the window of opportunity is rapidly closing, because now you're going to have them on just monstrosities of deals that are going to make it even more difficult to put the right team around them. You got 2 years. Well, you got 2 years after this year, maybe, because McDavid will still have a year left on his 12.5, but oh, it's not pretty. It is not pretty. Same lineup for the Oilers, which Janmark was good. I still would go with Connor Brown. I think I don't understand Knobloch starting to hate Connor Brown the moment Connor Brown gets going. Like, what? What the fuck? And then Stetcher still sitting out for CeCe. CeCe was so bad again the other night. They're the third pair. I don't know how accurate it is, but someone told me a couple weeks ago that apparently Darnell Nurse is just a nightmare to coach. And it's not because he's a bad dude or anything like that. It's because he doesn't listen to a word anyone says. He's so bullheaded. He thinks that he knows best. He's going to figure it out. He knows best. And he just won't listen to anyone. People have apparently, I don't know how accurate this is. This is what I was told. People have tried to work with him on his defensive game, and he just basically won't even hear of it. If you can hear my phone right now, that would be my nephew calling me right when I'm fucking recording. Do you mind? God. Clearly not on the live stream. Clearly. He's clearly not watching on the live stream. Now, I don't have a live stream, but he's clearly not watching it. What an asshole. Should wrap this up anyway, but because I really don't know what else to say other than I just wanted to put out some content and talk about Game 2 and get the table set for Game 3. Boy, it's tough for me to make a prediction on this game. Trying to set aside my fandom for a minute, I don't know where it's going. I don't know. Like, a large part of me thinks that LA's about to take over this series, but then the other part of me says, okay, LA played their best game on Wednesday night. The Oilers did not play well, and the Oilers were still a shot away from winning the game. And LA won the game in large part thanks to the Kevin Fiala just horrific goal. And the King, and even the Kopitar goal, and that's the other thing. The bounces with this Kings team, could they fucking stop getting every single break? That you think about last year. Last year, kind of a broken play, horse shit, tripping call on Vinny Desharnais that starts. I want it's Kempe in game one. The first goal that he got was kind of a fluke goal, if I recall right. One was right off a faceoff, but there was another one that was a fluky kind of play. Fluky kind of bounce. Can't really remember. Anyway, the OT goal, horseshit call, horseshit penalty. Horseshit power play, I mean. Game three, the high stick that wasn't called. Game six, Deneau ties the game because Stuart Skinner doesn't realize he's playing with a broken stick. Like, all the bounces in game one that they got, of four goals, they only had one they actually shot at the net. And then they get the Fiala goal last game, and they get, like, it's just unbelievable, not to mention all the near misses that happen at the other end. Because they're getting outplayed. Like that Quinton Byfield tip. Like on one hand it's like, geez, what a fucking play. Hats off. But on the other hand it's like, man, that play gets made fucking five times a game. And it never works out anywhere near how it did. Usually like Byfield, I'd love to hear. Byfield's not trying to deflect that to Kopitar. I don't care what's said. Byfield is just trying to knock that down to make sure it's not icing. And I know, don't get me wrong, Nurse made a horrible play on it. But it goes right to the slot to fucking, or the high slot for Kopitar, and he goes in all alone. Like, what? So the Kings are getting every break again, and they're barely winning. So I'm not worried as an Oilers fan, but as I said off the top of the series, this series will go one of two ways. Either the Oilers win it or the Oilers lose it. The Kings will not win it. You know what the Kings are going to bring. And in fact, I was, again, shocked at how bad they played in game one. But the Oilers have not played well. The Oilers played much better through the first two games of last year's series when it ended up 1-1 than they did this year. This year, they have not played well. They have played far too loose. And you can't play loose against the Kings, because when the Kings are on and you're playing loose, they're going to get you. It's simple against LA. Just stay patient. You stay patient, you keep it buttoned up, you'll win. The Oilers are the far better team. They'll win if they stay patient and keep it buttoned up and get fucking serious. But if they don't get fucking serious and they try to play riverboat hockey for the third game in a row, this series is 2-1 LA, and I don't like their chances given LA all the momentum. I gotta think. I just don't trust this Oilers team, man. I think the Kings win going away tonight, because I don't think the Oilers' shitty play has stung them the way they need it to sting them yet. So I'm going to say the Kings win 5-1. I got a Kings blowout in game three. I hate saying that, and I hope I'm wrong. But I just think the Kings trounce them tonight. Because I don't, you know, hearing some of the stuff, I get trying to keep it positive, but man, some of the stuff coming out of the Oilers room, they shouldn't be the ones talking about bounces. Leave that to someone like me. You shouldn't be talking about the bounces. Given that they are, that says to me, they don't realize how fucking terrible they've been playing. Time to wake up, because if you don't, the Kings are going to trounce you tonight, and good luck Sunday with the Kings having all the momentum. You got away with it last year. You probably don't get away with it a second time. God, I hope I'm wrong on that, but I don't know. I'm pretty fucking smart and handsome. Hope you enjoyed all the Bob Cole stuff, and then I hope you enjoyed my potty mouth rant the rest of this podcast. Thanks for listening. If you can put up with me, we'll see you next time.
All Canadians in fighting condition are asked to meet by the tree in Edmonton.